Open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. As we finish up our series called What is Church? And a lot of people have a lot of different ideas about what church is and what it should be. Sometimes we have a lot of negative thoughts about what church is based upon some past experiences and interactions with Christians and other people, and that's so unfortunate. Sometimes we think that church ought to be done a certain way. You know, we ought to sing this many songs and then pray and this many songs and then, have Bible and so many different things, and that's the way that church has to be. And unfortunately, a lot of the things that we think of as what church should be isn't what the Bible has to say about what church should be. And a lot of it just comes from church tradition and our own preferences and everything else. So what we've tried to do is we've tried to focus in on what does the Bible say about church, and then let's have everything that we do try to line up with that. And so if there are certain activities or certain things or programs or whatever that doesn't fall in line with what the Scripture says, then we're probably wasting money and energy and time doing some things that maybe we really shouldn't be doing. So we began by talking about the fact that church is commitment. We are all committed to a lot of different things. Most importantly, we're committed to ourselves. That's usually our top commitment. That's our top commitment in life, and a lot of times that's our top commitment when we come to church as well. And that's the wrong type of attitude and the wrong type of commitment to have. First of all, we are to be committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. So the reason I go is not because of my pastor, or because, you know, I know some pastors that when people don't show up, even on days like today where there's ice out, where he'll call people names out from the pulpit because they're not there that morning. That's a horrible thing to do. Don't come to church for me. If you're coming for me, you're coming for the wrong reasons. Okay, we ought to gather together because we are committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, and secondly, we're committed to the gathering. Remember, the church is not a building. The church is a group of believers, people who've trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they've joined up as a local assembly to reach their area for the gospel of Jesus Christ. So you ought to be committed to the Lord Jesus Christ first. Your second commitment is for the people who are gathered around you. How can I be a help? How can I be a blessing? How can I encourage and build up and uplift the people who are around me so that when I come to church, I'm not thinking about what am I going to get out of it? I'm thinking about what can I give? How can I help? How can I serve? So commitment is important, and commitment is what church is about. Church is also about community. God never intended for any person to live life completely alone. You can go all the way back to Genesis chapter number 1 where everything is perfect. God creates man. He's still perfect. He's still sinless. And God says it's not good for man to be alone. So you know what he did is he created Eve, a companion for him, that they might have community with one another, and Christians aren't meant to live their lives alone either. So unfortunate when you have people for various reasons. Sometimes it's because a church hurt them. Sometimes it's because they don't exactly line up theologically in every point with anybody. And so what they do is they isolate themselves from everybody, and that's an unscriptural thing to do. We are commanded to gather together for a very specific purpose. We're to have community with one another. And we noted that community is to be identified by two things most importantly. The first one was that the community should be identified by unity. There shouldn't be divisions among the congregation. There shouldn't be arguing and fighting. This person should not be holding things against somebody over here. And we shouldn't be fighting with somebody on this side. There's to be a unity. And Jesus himself said that one of the ways that people are going to know who I am is through the unity of the body of believers. And so when we don't have unity in our congregation, we misrepresent the Lord Jesus Christ to the world, and that's a very dangerous thing to do. So we are to have unity. We're also to be earmarked by love. Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you have love one for another." Unfortunately, the number one thing a lot of people are concerned about, they don't care about unity, they don't care about showing love to people, all they care about is doctrine. I'm going to tell you, and I said this before, nobody has their doctrine 100% correct. Nobody. You see, if you raise your hand and say, well, I do, you're wrong right there. You do not. Okay? I don't have it all right. And I think about, and I mentioned this before, I think about the things that I used to teach and preach, and now I'm just like, God, thank you for not killing me for saying that. Why? Because we learn and grow, and the Holy Spirit opens things up to us, and we begin to see things. So if you think you have everything figured out, and that's your number one, only thing you're concerned about, is doctrine. Doctrine is important. Okay, it is important. We base everything we do off of that, but it's not doctrine at the expense of unity. It's not doctrine at the expense of love. Okay? There's supposed to be a harmony among those things. But the two that he identified specifically that the world is going to know was unity and love. And so we need to be marked by those things. Then last week we talked about the fact that church is missional. Last week's message was one of the most important messages I've ever preached from this platform. If you are not here because of the weather that we had, I encourage you to go online and watch it. It is important for you to understand what we're trying to do here at Good News Baptist Church. The process, we want to make disciples who make disciples. And we use three words to identify the process to be able to do that. The first one is identified by the word gather. Okay, that's what Sunday morning is all about. It's about the gathering. We want to come together where people can be introduced to the Lord Jesus Christ, where they can get to know Him. Jesus wants to know people, and He gathered people so that they could hear Him. But we don't just want to stay there. Okay, we want to grow. And every time you watch the Lord Jesus Christ, He's always inviting people to come a little bit closer. So the multitudes followed Jesus. They kind of gathered around, maybe to see what He was all about, to see some great thing, and that's a fantastic thing to do, is to come and to see, but Jesus doesn't want you to stay there, we don't want you to stay there. So He invited the multitudes to come in closer. He had groups of 70, He had groups of 12, groups of 3, He even brought in people, He had one maybe that was kind of the closest to Him. But He was always trying to draw people in closer, and that's what the grow is all about. Getting involved in the communities and the groups that are here. We call them life groups. So I encourage you to get involved in one of the life groups. If you're just kind of coming and to our services, maybe been coming for a while, but you have not yet stepped in closer, that's the step that you need to take. And I want to encourage you to take it. Get involved in the lives of people that you, remember, it's not just about you, it's about other people as well. So you investing in their lives, they're investing in you, and we all grow together. I need you. I need you in my life. You need me in your life. We need one another to grow in our walk with the Lord. And if all we're doing is coming on a Sunday morning and sitting in the pew and walking out, we're not helping each other. So we want to step closer. We want to grow. But we don't want to just stay there. Okay, growth is to always have a purpose. We never gain information for information's sake. We're never just growing for growing's sake. The point of it is so we can produce fruit. We're to take the growth and have an outlet for it, and that's where we use the word go. So we have service teams that all week long, people are ministering to other people in our body and also out in the community. We want to get you involved in soul winning. Get you involved in telling people about the gospel of Christ. We have all kinds of invitations that make it easy for you to invite somebody to church. You have an invitation sitting in your seat right now. You had to either sit on it or pick it up when you sat down. Hopefully you picked it up. And you take it with you and invite somebody. You go out to a restaurant, talk to the waiter, talk to the waitress, talk to your server. I encourage you to call them by name. You know, find out what their name is and call them their name every time they walk to your table. Why? Because you're building a little bit of connection. You have an opportunity to invite them to the gathering. Okay, we're going out Saturday for 1 hour. All I'm asking, 1 hour a month, I ask you to come out and go out in the community and spread the word about the Lord Jesus Christ and about His church here. Okay, that's not a lot. We devote a lot more time to that, to television and all kinds of things. Certainly we can give 1 hour, and maybe you can't come and gather together with us. We had bad weather last time. We had some people take some and kind of just walked around their own neighborhood. That's great, but invest the time to go out soul winning. And then we talked about the importance in the last part of the go is walking somebody else through the gather, grow, go. That you personally inviting somebody to the church service and sitting with them in church. You personally encouraging them to get involved in one of the life groups. You personally get them involved in serving a team and leading somebody through the process so that then they can go and lead somebody else through it. See, we want to make disciples who make disciples, and that's how we do it. And so our church is to be missional. There's to be a purpose behind it. You're in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. Let's look at this portion of Scripture together. We read through it in the opening, but for the benefit of those who are going to be watching us online, let's read through it together again. Verse number 27 says, "Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret." Okay, so he's talked about the fact and used this illustration of a body. That's what the church is. It's a body of believers. Jesus is the head. Okay, the pastor's not the head. Some other person is not the head. Jesus is the head. And we're if we've come to know Christ as our Savior, we're part of that body. And just as our body has different members that are for different purposes, each of us has a different purpose. Each of us has been gifted uniquely. Okay, my feet are not able to do the things that my hands can do. Some people's feet can. It's quite fascinating. Mine cannot. Okay, and they weren't necessarily intended to work that way. My ears can't do what my mouth can do. That would be super weird. Okay, we have all these members of our body. They're all for different purposes, but each of the different purposes is to benefit the whole. So he asked the question, and as we mentioned here last time, when he asks these questions, he already has an implied answer, and the answer is no. So when he says, "Hey, is everybody an apostle?" No. "Is everybody a teacher?" No. "Does everybody have the gifts of healing?" No. Why? Because we're all different members, all have different purposes used to build up and edify the body of Christ and do what Jesus has called us to do, that is to make disciples who make disciples. So then he says in verse number 31, "But covet earnestly the best gifts." And if you mark in your Bible, I want you to underline this next phrase where he says, "And yet show I unto you a more excellent way." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given to us. We thank you for those that have gathered together this morning. And God, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, we are desperate to hear from you. And so, Lord, right now, we open up our hearts, we open up our minds and our ears to the working of the Holy Spirit of God. And Lord, if we're here today without Jesus, we invite you, the Spirit of God, to convict us of our sin and help us to understand that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We have to come to God through Jesus and that they'd be saved today. And for Christians, I pray that you would really impress upon us the next step that we need to take, Lord, and to have the passion that you have about this task that you've given us to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we're going to be focusing in on the fact that the church is passionate. It ought to be passionate. Unfortunately, you walk in a lot of churches and it's like a funeral home. People walk in almost like zombies. It's like the walking dead in here. We're just like mumbling around, frowns on our faces, not really happy, not really excited to be here, not excited to see anybody else who's here. Sometimes that's the fault of the people running the place. I mean, if it's super boring, yeah. You know, if the person leading the singing is leading it and it's super, super slow like funeral, it's, hey, that happens. But we ought to be excited. We're excited about a lot of things in life. We're passionate about food, many of us. Maybe not about all foods. There's foods I'm definitely not passionate about. I'm not passionate about Chinese food at all. But there's a lot of foods I'm passionate about. And many of you can name a lot of the things, foods I'm passionate about. I'm passionate about Krispy Kreme. Linnell asked us last night, where's the closest Krispy Kreme to here? 2 hours exactly from my house where I'm sitting right now. I know it. Why? Because I'm passionate about them. Passionate about the Cinnabon that's on the way to Krispy Kreme. Okay, we have foods we're passionate about. Hopefully you're passionate about the people in your life. Okay, I'm passionate about my wife. I love her more than I love any human on this world. Okay, I'm passionate about her. I want to spend time with her. I want to spend every moment that I possibly can with her. I'm passionate about my children. One of my daughters is up here. The other three are downstairs. I'm passionate about them. I love them. I love to spend time with them. We have a fun time together. It is a blessing to be their father. Okay, I'm passionate about that. I'm passionate about the Hawkeyes. I dare you to find a person more passionate about the Hawkeyes than I am. They won't add up. Okay, people, when people either go to a game with me or watch a game with me for the first time, it can be a little troubling to them. Because I'm passionate. I get into it. I will holler at the refs. I will holler at the players. I'll yell at the coach. I feel like they can hear me and they're just ignoring me. But I'm going to holler. I'm going to get up and shout and scream. Okay? We went with the Mogers to the basketball game on Friday. I might have scared Joan a little bit. She was sitting right next to me. And I think more than once I might have startled her because I was hollering at the game and the things that were going on. Why? Because I'm passionate about it. But why can't we have that same passion about the Lord Jesus Christ? Why can't we have the same passion about the things that he was passionate about? Jesus said, I came to seek and to save the lost. I didn't come here to be served, but to give my life a ransom for many. See, Jesus was passionate about making disciples who make disciples, and he wants us to have that same sort of passion about it. And unfortunately, many times we're not passionate about it at all. We could care less about the things that he cares about. See, I'm passionate about me. I'm passionate about the music that I like or the certain style or whatever else. I'm passionate about the things that influence me, but when we stop and we think about the things that Jesus wants us to love and the things that Jesus wants us to be passionate about, where do we line up? And I don't know about you, but many times I fall short of that. Many times I don't have the passion and the intensity that I ought to have. So here he talks about the fact that here we are as a body of believers. Okay, all different members, all created uniquely, and what a wonderful thing. I don't want you to be like me. Well, that was a little too quick with that. I don't want you to be like me. Okay, God created only one of me, and he did it for a reason, because the world couldn't handle two of us. Okay, he created you uniquely. All the circumstances of your life have been used to form and to shape who you are right now. God makes absolutely no mistakes. He gave you the personality he did because he wants you to use it for him. He gave you the talents and the abilities that he gave you because he wants you to use it for him. And sometimes we look at a certain person. I've said this a ton of times. Like, I see these people that are so musically talented, can pick up any instrument and play it by ear. Okay? Have a voice that is just, you know, just speaks directly to the soul. And you just feel it when they're singing. I've said, man, I would love to have a voice like that. I mean, God bless these instrumentalists that work with me, because if I have to lead the singing, we're having a hard time. I need your help as much as I can get. Singing is not my gift. half the time my voice cracks and squeaks and everything else, and that's not my gift. But there's been times where I've desired that gift. I told my wife, if I had a voice like that, I definitely wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now, probably, so it was a good thing. God knows what He's doing. Okay, but sometimes we covet these different gifts. You know, verse number 31 says, covet earnestly the best gifts. And there's not necessarily anything wrong with that if we have a desire to use it for Jesus, but most of the time, I know for me, the gifts maybe that I've coveted wasn't necessarily to use it for Jesus like He would want. And He says, even in that, no matter what the gift is, He says there's a better way than that. Okay, better than having the greatest gift, there's something even better than that. And that's where we turn our page, or maybe cross over to the next chapter in 1 Corinthians 13. As we mentioned, this is written to the church. It wasn't written about a wedding or love story or anything like that. He wrote it to the church. And so verses 1 through 3 kind of show us what that excellent way is. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and maybe you've thought, man, if I could just speak like this person. You know, I know there's some pastors and preachers and speakers that I listen to on a regular basis just to try to learn from them. Okay, God has called me to be a public speaker, and so I think it's good stewardship to try to do the best that I can. So there's speakers that I listen to, and I could listen to literally for hours, and it feels like moments, just because of the gift of speaking, and you're just like hanging on every single word that they say, and it's quite incredible. But He says, even if I could do that, notice this, and have not charity. Now, charity's not the name of a girl here. Okay, He's not talking about some love, this guy that's just in love with this girl named Charity. The word charity there, it means love. Okay, so he says, even if I could speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but I don't have love, I am become as sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. In other words, you go from having somebody that has this voice you just love to listen to noise. A lot of noise, basically, is what it is. If it doesn't have the passion in it. See, if the love's not there, it doesn't matter what's said. It's just noise at that point. So even though I may have this gift of speaking or gift of singing or whatever else, where people just love to hear the voice, if the passion isn't there, it's empty, it's meaningless. He says in verse number 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge. Okay? Look at your doctrine and your Bible study and all those sorts of things. And maybe you have, God has blessed you with being able to look into the Scriptures and have insight and understanding into it. It's a great thing. And then He says, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. In other words, you can know everything. We talked about everybody doesn't have their doctrine right, okay? Even if you had it all right, you understood everything about the Scripture, but if you don't have love, it's pointless. He says you're nothing. Say the Scripture, the Bible says speak the truth, and it's important for us to know the Scripture and to know the truth, but it says speak the truth in love. See, love is to be present there. And He says if you don't have love, if you don't have the passion, it doesn't matter what you know. It's nothing. It's worthless. It's empty. He says in verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. So when He talks about the gifts and all these sorts of things, He says there's something even better than the gifts and the talents and the abilities. And the thing that's better than all that, the greatest thing that you and I can grasp onto is this thing that He calls charity or love. It's passion. And it ought to be passion that motivates everything that we do. There shouldn't be a more passionate organization or organism than a body of believers. We ought to have passion about the things that Jesus has passion about. So when we think about how God has called us to make disciples who make disciples. And we think about the process that we're trying to bring people through so they can get to the point where they themselves are making a disciple who makes a disciple. We want to be passionate about those things. So I ought to be passionate about the gathering. I mean, we ought to get to a point where we look forward to gathering together with a body of believers. Whether it's Sunday morning in a worship service like this, whether it's getting together at other believers' house during the week, some Bible study, a fellowship, or whatever else, when it comes to gathering together with other believers, we ought to be excited about it. We ought to make it a priority, and there ought to be some passion involved in getting together with other believers, not just because it's a command in Hebrews 10:25 that we don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together, but that I love gathering together. That I love being with God's people. That I love the atmosphere of just coming together with other people who know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And it's not that I have to go, but it's something that I'm looking forward to as one of the best parts of my week. We ought to be passionate about the gathering. And we ought to be passionate about getting other people to the gathering as well. Why? Because I know if I can get them to the gathering, they have an opportunity to meet Jesus Christ. They have an opportunity to have their lives changed forever. And I think about these four men who had this lame man who was their friend. And here Jesus is in the house, and he's teaching, and he's doing all these different things. And they meant, maybe we got to get our friend to Jesus. What are we going to do? So they put him on his bed. They pick him up. They carry him to the house. They want to get him to meet Jesus, but they can't get in. It's too packed. Can't get in. And you notice they don't give up. They don't quit. Somehow they hoist him, get him up on the roof, tear the tiles off the roof, and lower him down to the gathering. Okay? In other words, if you're not going to make room for this guy to get in here, we're making room. Either you're going to make room for him or he's going to be landing on your head. They were passionate about getting this guy to Jesus. We ought to be passionate about the gathering. We ought to be passionate about bringing other people to a place where they can hear about Jesus, where they can hear about their sins and the fact that Jesus died on a cross to take their sin away, that they can be all forgiven, they can have new life in the Lord Jesus Christ, that their life can be great, not just in eternity, but they can have the abundant life here and now, and He can change everything about who they are. All the mistakes can be taken away. Everything can become brand new. We ought to be passionate about bringing people to a place where they can meet that Savior. And shame on us when we're not passionate about it. There's something greater than being able to sing like an angel can sing. There's something greater than being able to speak better than the best orator, or play better than the best musician, or whatever else talent, ability, you write it down. And that's passion. For the things that Jesus wants us to be passionate about. Loving people and trying to bring them to Jesus. And I want you to stop for just a moment and just evaluate what kind of passion have you had for bringing people to this place this week? Did you invite even one person? Why not? I'll tell you why not. Because you're not passionate about the things that He's passionate about. If you're passionate about people meeting Jesus, and I'm passionate about people meeting Jesus, I'm going to invite them to the gathering. We need to be passionate about that. Okay, we ought to be passionate about the growing. Okay, we don't want people just to stay where they are in their walk with Him. As we mentioned, spirituality is not like a parked car, where we just drive so far and we park and we stay in that spot. Spirituality is more like walking the wrong way on an escalator. If you go the wrong way on an escalator, you can make it all the way to the top. But if you stop on an escalator or one of the moving sidewalks at the airport, you don't stay in the same spot. You go backwards. And that's exactly the way spirituality is. Okay, if you've just stopped at the gathering and that's it, I'm not willing to commit to anything else. I'm not willing to draw in closer. I'm not willing to go in deeper. You're not just staying in one spot spiritually. Okay, you're moving further away. Jesus wants to draw you in closer, and you ought to be passionate about drawing in closer. You ought to have a great desire within you to know Jesus better, to grow in your walk with Him, to grow in your relationship with other believers. There ought to be a passion about it. Man, we ought to look forward to when our life group gets together. We ought to just look forward to when the ladies have the Bible study and the men get together or whatever else. We ought to be passionate about those times where we're going to grow in community with one another and in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you are not involved in one of our groups, you need to get involved. You need to be passionate about it. You need to be passionate about the people who are sitting around you that I want to grow, because if I grow, I know that's beneficial to everybody who's around me. We ought to be passionate about that. Most importantly, we ought to be passionate about the going. We ought to be passionate about serving other people. We ought to be passionate about soul winning and telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to be passionate about making disciples who make disciples. It should be something that I just desire, something that I love, something that I look forward to. We look forward to all kinds of things. How come we're not passionate about seeing people come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior? I mean, there's nothing greater that He's given us to do. And we can even get passionate about the wrong things. I mean, we can get passionate about certain ministries and certain parts of the facility and whatever else and waste all this energy on things that aren't really important. What's important is that Jesus gave His life that we might have eternal life. And He has commanded us to go. And it ought to be just the burning passion within us. Like the prophet who said, I tried to hold my mouth closed, but I couldn't. It was like a fire just burning within me. I just had to say something. I just had to tell what the Lord put on my heart. And that ought to be that burning passion within each and every one of us that I just can't not tell somebody about Jesus. I just can't not invite somebody to the gathering. I just can't not get involved in my life group, because why? I'm passionate about becoming a disciple who makes other disciples. And I'm passionate about leading people in that same process. And it's not that I'm just taking these steps alone, but I'm joining hands with the people around me and we're taking these steps together. And yes, we aren't everything that we ought to be, but hey, I'm moving forward and my life is growing and I'm being changed. We ought to be passionate about seeing other people's lives change as well. Unfortunately, in a lot of places, church is dead.
Yep, that's right.
It's dead. There's no life. There's no joy. There's no excitement. There's no passion. And that all changes. Not with a group of people, but with individuals who get on their face before their Savior, say, God, I'm sorry. God, I've been passionate about me. And I've been passionate about things that I desire. Lord, I haven't had passion about the things that You have passion about. I haven't loved the things that You love, and God, forgive me, and Lord, give me a passion for the gathering. Give me a passion to grow. Give me a passion to get out of this world and go and serve people and tell others about Christ and make disciples. Church is passion. He said, hey, you can have all these talents, all these abilities, all these gifts. I want to tell you about something that's even greater than that. It's a more excellent way, and that is a life lived with passion.